Yeah, so we're really pleased to have in studio with us now Eileen and Sean Donaghy from Rasheni, is it? In Rasheni, in Ballyliffin and Coghill Buncrana. Eileen, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Greg. Good morning,
Sean,
everyone.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us. And I just want to put this on the record right from the beginning. These are joint recipients here because you've been getting a wee bit of extra praise, Eileen, and I'm not sure, it probably is justified, right? But is there a couple getting this wonderful honour?
Double trouble.
You have been in Australia for how long?
36 years now, Greg.
No accent changes at all.
You reckon?
Well, you reckon?
Hang on.
Come here, did you go over together, yeah?
Yeah. With the two boys, or two boys as well.
Right. We backpacked for an 88 for a year, which was an unknown in those days with two kids.
And how long were you heading over for in your mind?
1 year, just so Sean could get it out of his system and then come back and we'd live happily ever after in Donegal again.
But that didn't happen. Right, Sean, what happened?
We all fell in love with Australia.
Yeah.
And then we came back and we just made the move back in 91.
Sold our house.
And it's amazing how quickly the time goes in. Are your family based over in Australia too?
No, not just us, guys.
Just you?
Yeah, our family, but nobody. We didn't know anyone when we went out there first.
Yeah, okay. A big move then, because, you know, we kind of think about it now slightly differently. 34 years ago, Sean, like, you know, we didn't have Zoom, we didn't have this, that and the other. I mean, 34 years ago, one of the treats on Gay Byrne's show was connecting people on a phone call from Australia and Ireland. You know what I mean? That's how sort of separated it was. It was a big decision.
Big move.
I remember, Greg, when I went there first, because, you know, we had a mortgage and the kids were at a Catholic school, which was we had to pay for. I used to put on the egg timer for 10 minutes. That's what I could afford, $1 a minute. It was $10 for 10 minutes. And I hated to see the sand going down. Mm. So I knew I had to get off.
Yeah. How difficult was it being away from home?
Well, when we went back as our residence, at the start it was very difficult because, you know, my mum would write to me every Friday when she would go up and get her pension in Ballyliffin. And I would sit down and read the letter and it was like, you know, news at home and you just want to be there for that time, but you couldn't, you know what I mean?
And which was worse, the sort of good news or the indications of, you know, Aunt Vera's just not too well this weather or something
like
that?
I lost my brother
when
I was 36 and that was really, really hard because I was sick myself at the time and I never told my family and I couldn't come home for the funeral. Yeah. And that was the worst time of my life, to be honest. Then my mum died 3 months later.
Aww.
So that year was 1996 and I'll always put it down to a very good, bad year, but... Yeah. Like everything, you know, you just get on with it, like, you know, but it's just tough.
I think bereavement is more difficult the further removed you are from it. When you're there, you kind of process it and things, but, you know, when you're far away, it's a helplessness and all that kind of stuff.
For sure.
Sean, what was the plan? You know, I know you talked about a year, right? But, you know, when that year passed, what did you say, right, this is what we're going to do as an income here. This is what we're going to do to make our life here.
Yeah, well, we all agreed when we came back from Australia that we all wanted to go back out. And then when we arrived out, it was just so easy to get a job as a chef. It was just, there was hundreds of chef jobs. And Eileen just fell into employment as well. And the boys, everybody loved it. So it was easy, you know. Nobody wanted, it was just a big adventure. We went travelling at the weekends and different style of life and barbecuing.
I think the word you use there, easy. You know, life can be tough and everyone was landed on their feet, really.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, honestly, Greg, it was meant to be, because when you do that big move and you take that leap of faith and you lose, you know, you leave that fear behind you and then everything just slots into place. I really do believe that.
Mm. Yeah, but you have to give life, sometimes you have to give life a chance to drop into place too. You have to make big decisions and brave decisions, don't you? And then,
my mum, she came out to Australia 14 times while we were there. She loved it. She was a jet setter.
Right, brilliant. And she just loved the weather and the fact that yous were all happy. And as a mum, right, so you getting on and being happy, that makes her happy.
And she used to go out in the sun, sit out the back, and she would sit up at what we call Table 9, which is the top of the restaurant. The customers used to come in and go, "Who's that little Greek woman up at the top?" She was brown and black.
And when did you get? When did you start the restaurant then? How long did it take to get that off the ground?
April 1994.
Yeah, we were in a business, catering business before that. We just started a catering
business.
Catering for all the, you know, the associations, dinner dances and stuff, something similar to here. and there wasn't that there in Sydney, so we filled a niche. And then gradually we probably, you know, succeeded enough so we had enough money to buy the restaurant.
Mulligan's.
Yeah, in Sydney. It was only one kilometre from the GPO.
Right.
So it was a beautiful building, and I love energy in buildings, so I picked this building and it served us good. And then we ended up buying the building, which was amazing.
Wow.
So again, luck had it. You know, we worked hard, didn't we, Sean?
I was going to say, you know, you didn't buy it with luck. You obviously had to graft.
And we worked hard. And we, our first person we ever employed, because I never employed a person before, Greg.
Yeah.
And her name is Mary Daly from Cork. And she's still... Well, she stayed with us for 25 years, would you believe?
Wowzers.
And she's looking after her dogs at the minute when we're here.
Yeah.
And she's like a daughter to us now. We love her so much. And all her staff stayed with us a long time. So we're very blessed,
and
Greg.
We had Daniel for the opening night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we all know who you're talking about. And you only have to use one name, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like Dolly and Madonna and Daniel.
And do you know, Greg, Daniel O'Donnell taught me to be very grounded. And he didn't. We didn't have any money, so I was up honest and upfront with him when we opened the restaurant. And he said, "Just be a success for Donegal." And I hope, Daniel, we lived up to that, because he is the most amazing character, and he taught me a lot of where I am today.
And Sean, why was the restaurant such a success then? I mean, obviously, graft is it, but I mean, is it? You know, what kind of food were you doing? Was it? Were
it
you
was
trying
European
to play?
And Irish cuisine, but we filled a niche for the Irish community. Like, we were doing traditional food and everybody was coming in.
So it became a hub then?
Yeah, homemade bread, just like Donegal now, just beautiful food. Yeah.
And I wanted to welcome everybody into the... I wanted everybody to welcome them in, Greg, because no matter where you're from, I went to the door and said, "Good evening, welcome to Mulligan's." And I felt that kind of... They left all their inhibitions at the door.
Yeah.
Whether they were stressed or they weren't sure or they're, you know... And a lot of people, I could gauge whether they wanted to talk or whether they wanted...
Space.
You know, so that presentability, I think you have a gift to do that. And I think I didn't realise I had that gift. But also Sean's food, I have to say, Greg, is fantastic. I mean, he had steak with Guinness and champagne sauce and everybody used to love it. Slowly braised lamb shanks, you know, boxty pancakes with an apple and cider sauce. Things that he used, because he was French trained, and he amalgamated into the Irish thing. And of course, I made up all the names because I've kissed the Blarney Stone a few times, Greg.
On your honeymoon.
Because Australian people used to come to us all the time, right, Greg? And they'd say, "We've been to Ireland, Eileen, but we've never found the Castle Bar pie or the Dingle pie or Mammy Mulligan's favourite ice cream."
Just pulling names out of the air.
Yeah.
I know, but
they thought they were genuine. They were looking for them all over Ireland.
But of course, and then I suppose it's the Irish people that are going in. It's the taste and the sounds of home, the words of home, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
And were you very sort of hands-on in the kitchen,
Sean? Yes.
Would did you seed influence much? Or did you have to have your
finger
in every
part? No, I was always behind
part?
The stove, always. I just
You front of house?
Ran the show.
I was the front, I was more front than the front of a house,
When did it become apparent that this was not just a restaurant? That this was, maybe the go-to place? Maybe when people are heading out, they're nervous, they don't want know what's ahead of them, and they say, "Well, we'll go to Mulligan's."
Yeah, well, what year we got there? Two awards?
2009, we won the best restaurant in Sydney.
Yeah.
And that was from not the Irish community, but the Australian community. And then we realised that, you know, not only just... We had all kinds of people from all walks of life, but of course we always had a great kid made the fortune for our Irish folks. But also, Greg, over the years, we had christenings, and then we had the Holy Communions, and then we had the pre-wedding. So we got to know these people, and they became like our family away from home. And they treated us the same, and we, you know, it was just the most amazing little tiny little place that only seated 120, but... You know, there was nights we crushed in 160. Oh my God! Yeah.
And I would say too, there were people who were able to stick it out because of having Mulligan's to go to that sort of base.
Yeah.
On a Sunday morning, we do breakfast, and it was just like a gathering of the Irish. And we were chatting. They had the same table every Sunday morning, and they were all talking to one another. And we're there. We couldn't get them out. 2 o'clock. They're still talking.
Yeah. And like it was their hub coming in and saying, "Oh, hi, Barbara. Hi," you know. And it was great. And, you know, I used to give out to all the young Irish backpackers because our Irish sauces were imported. And we had it wasn't imported, but they were from an Irish butcher, but they were 3 times the price. And if they left them over the hangover, I'd go, "Get in there now and eat them sauces. They cost us a fortune." And they called me Mammy Mulligan. Then they said I was like their mammy, only I was in Sydney.
Oh, that's lovely.
Bossing them around, yeah.
But that would have made a lot of mummies happy, you know, to know there was someone else there keeping an eye on them. No doubt about that. So we were able to direct people, support people, offer jobs, all that type of stuff over the years.
Advice,
And then we did a lot of charity work. We did the Variety Bash for 10 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So what was the idea behind that?
We were on a cruise going to New Zealand.
You're allowed to speak now, Sean. She's letting you speak. Go on.
Yeah, I said, right. We were on a cruise around New Zealand on the ship, and this Variety package landed on the table, said, let your car make money for kids.
Yeah.
So we came back, and Eileen rang up Stuart. He was there within 2 hours, and he sat down. He says, Eileen, we're going to Broome this year from Sydney, which is nearly 5,000 kilometres away. And Eileen says, the only Broome I know is Western Australia. He says, that's where you're going.
I thought it was like a witch's Broome or a Western Australia.
And we drove on the dirt.
Yeah.
And we camped out and we went to school in the morning and gave out presents, like money vouchers and stuff. But there was nearly 500 people on the trip.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like massive.
And our cars had to be 1956, around that age. And then we had to carry all our clothes because we were leprechauns because we were Irish. And so we had the Leprechaun's Travelling Machine was the name of our car.
What car was it?
It was a 64 Holden.
Oh, right. Lovely.
And then we dressed up in pyjamas. If the little kids were sick at school and they wanted us all to come in pyjamas, so we dressed up in leprechaun pyjamas, night suits, day suits. So we had loads of different things to bring with us. But we had a great time when we
saw... This must have contributed so much over the decade of doing that.
Oh. Well, I think about... Well, I don't want to put a figure on it, but quite a lot of money, every year we had a big ball and everybody supported us.
And did you host that in Mulligan's as well?
No, we hosted that in a big club in Sydney, because we have 400 or 500 at that.
All right, so, that would be stretching the capacity. It's one thing jamming 160 and 400 might be a different story.
Yeah.
And I don't have the information in front of me. Do you still run the restaurant?
Or? No, we sold it 10 years ago.
Okay.
And we moved. I'll tell you why we did that, Greg. Sean was getting busier and busier and busier if possible. And then Sean's father died quite young of a heart attack. And my fear was we were going to, he was going to do the same. But so we sold the restaurant and we moved an hour away into a little village about an hour from Sydney. And we fitted in there very well. But we still do a lot of work for charity. And we still keep up. That's why I'm called Eileen Mulligan on Facebook. Because if I lost that now, I would lose all the contacts for my charity work and all the things we do.
Of course, yeah.
So that's our link to the Mulligans, you know.
Yeah. Sean, would it have been hard for you to sort of step out of the kitchen? Do you know the way that you'd done it for so long? Or even maybe step out of it and let someone else step in? You know, sometimes it's very hard to walk away from something so passionate.
When I'd done my last meal, I was happy because I left home at 15 to cook. And I still love cooking, but no, the pressure of just the orders, the kitchen, and it got crazy. Like,
but it's hard to switch off from that, from your perspective too, you know.
I haven't switched off. I'm a manager now of a big medical centre, 26 doctors.
I had this idea of you and Sean riding off into the sunset to live in this quiet village.
We took two years off or three.
We took two years off and put on a lot of weight and ate a lot of ice cream and watched Downtown Abbey a lot. But then we went back because I couldn't, I missed it so much. So the fact that I'm running this medical centre now and there's 26 doctors and two psychologists, 12 nurses and 12 receptionists, and it's 8 to 8 every day. I love it.
All right, stay where you are. I have to take a really short break. I'll be back with more from Eileen and Sean Donaghy. You probably know her as Eileen Mulligan. They are originally from Ballyliffin and Cock Hill, but have been 34 years in Sydney running the Mulligans, which became like a pillar of the Irish community, but also obviously much loved amongst the Australian community as well, award-winning, and became sort of like a hub for the Irish. We'll pick up the story after this quick break. We are speaking to Eileen and Sean Donaghy. They are recipients of the 2025 Tip O'Neill Irish Diaspora Award. This year's recipients exemplify the diversity impact of Ireland's global community. Danny Hutton, Vincent Keaveney also being celebrated on Friday. Kevin McFadden, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Okay, Kevin, you know the guys that I have in front of me.
Yes. Sean and I worked together in Runera House Hotel. I was there for 3 or 4 years along with Sean And I want to congratulate both of them on getting the award, and well-deserved. Eileen, I didn't know so well, just met her a few times, but Eileen, the people that I went out to Australia that went with references from me, and Eileen took charge of them and mothered them and sort of wanted to foster them and keep them out there. And I was delighted for that when they would come home and they'd tell me how well they were looked after by the Donahues. But Sean was an exceptional chef, and I have a balance sheet, a food balance sheet for the week of January 26, 1981 at Ronara House. And he was, the food production was running at 28%. The norm in the industry is 35%. So that is the kind of economic chef that he was, and producing the best of fish. And his duckling was to be sought after all the time.
Well, for the non-chef, that's quite a technical compliment for you, Sean.
Yes, it is. Hi, Kevin. How are you going?
Sean, nice to hear from you. And well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin, for the kind words.
Thanks, Eileen. Sean, I see Daniel listed among your people that visit you and all that, but I remind you that a famous wedding that we had at Ronara, and it's on a video there that's picked up all the time by people, and it's of the Undertones, John O'Neill.
Oh, there you go.
And they had their wedding reception at Ronara. And I think he might have been married the same year as you, too.
Yeah, 78.
And, yeah, that's correct. And I met him in the City Hotel some few years ago there, and they came over to speak to me, and they reminded me about their wedding. And I said, are you celebrating 25 years? And he said, exactly today. So that makes them that they were around the same time.
There you go.
And then we had another family in Ronara that occupied table 6 every Sunday, and sometimes during the week, the McDades from Derry, famous John McDade, who's we reared his children as well, and one of them is the famous Johnny McDade of Snow Patrol.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin,
and,
go ahead.
Then we had Henry Kelly a couple of times as well.
From Golden for Gold, Henry Kelly. That Henry Kelly?
Henry Kelly of Golden for Gold,
right,
yes.
There you go,
yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. Mr. Coulter.
And
Phil Coulter, right, of course.
And Mr. Coulter, yeah. And, of course, your famous sidekick, the pair you used to go to the top of the mountain in those days to do your CB, your famous sidekick, Willie.
Willie Boyce.
Remember him at the time.
Willie
Boyce, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually going down to see him now after the show.
All good. Regards to him then as well.
All right, Kevin, listen, thanks for all the memories. Kevin McFadden there. It's like
thank you, Kevin.
It's like this is your life. That we never
He's got
planned.
A good memory.
He has, because I was looking at your face at times. Where's this going? Hello, Greg. Say hello to Sean and his wife, Eileen. Well done to you both from your neighbour, Pat Wanish, Cockhill Park.
Yes, yes.
Oh, lovely.
Wishing you all the very best. Congratulations to Sean and Eileen on their achievement from Kevin and Teresa Cullen. Karen McLaughlin on Facebook, just brilliant. Eileen Mulligan, Sydney, and Sean John Donahue. I think they must have tagged you in that comment because that was coming from. What's it feel like to sort of get home and to be honoured by your own community?
Amazing,
because yous are people obviously who you know what yous have achieved and where your skills are, right? But yous are modest people, and are yous able to enjoy this for this wonderful honour that it is? Eileen, what about you?
Greg, I'm just honestly amazed because I'm the youngest of 10 and my dad died when I was 5 months old.
Oh.
And Mum brought us up and we're a very proud family from Rosheny, and my brothers and sisters are just probably in office. And I did, never expected it, Greg. And we've got 96 coming out to the dinner, family and friends. I've got my school friends, Mary McGuinness and Ellen Ann from Machine. I've got neighbours that we had in Cleena and Ballymegan. We have our friends from all over Australia coming and Ireland.
Oh, wow.
So we're very blessed, Greg, and I don't take this lightly. I mean, this is an amazing thing that happened to us. It's like a dream. I keep thinking I'll wake up and it'll be...
And, you know, it's actually, it's a wonderful award, but look what it's triggered. What an amazing sort of international get-together and being able to, you know, to get back to your roots. Sean, what does it mean to you?
Oh, I'm just, I couldn't believe it when we got the award. I said, Eileen, that's not right.
Someone's taking the hand here.
I said, oh, Eileen, put that in the trash. And next thing, 2 weeks later, we get the call. How come you're not answering your emails? And Eileen says, oh, I think it's a scam. She says, no, it's not a scam. You've won.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Sean and Eileen. Yes. Well done and well deserved from all in Kinnego in Boncrana. What do you do now, Sean?
Well, when I retired, I said to Eileen, I always wanted to drive a truck. That was one of my things.
Go on, yeah.
Eileen was going to Ireland. I dropped her at the airport and I had booked, I didn't tell her, I said, I booked on a course on truck driving. I said, before you get back from Ireland, I'll be driving a truck. And I did.
I have wee notions of that myself, you know.
And I done a week's course.
Yeah.
And then I done me, and then I got a bus. I was driving in one of the tunnels in Sydney for 2 years, taking the guys in and out of the tunnel. Best job ever. Right. Just chatting and no pressure and just the best, ringing up, Sean, you got to get me out of here. You know what I mean?
Great. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, just scratched an itch.
Yeah, just totally different career.
Yeah.
And then I moved to the Highlands. I drive a coach down there now because there's a lot of wineries there and weddings. So I do weekend work doing weddings and wine tours.
Brilliant.
And stuff. Yeah, love it.
And mixing with the public too, which...
Yeah, it's a well Irish accent down in Australia.
It's an instant... It's an instant hit.
John, tell them who they think you look like. Go on.
Oh, Jimmy Barnes.
Do you know Jimmy Barnes, Greg?
Where is he?
He's a Scottish guy and he's a very famous singer in Australia. Working Class Man is Sean's favourite song, if you want to play it for
him. Which one?
Working Class Man.
That's the different to Working Man, is it?
No, it's Working Class Man. Okay. Jimmy Barnes is a rock and roller from Sydney.
Scotland.
But he was born in Scotland.
Sorry, this is live here. I want to see what
it's be good.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to pop this up for those that are watching here now and see if I can go full screen.
And maybe you could play it later on for Sean.
Well, we'll definitely get it.
I'm a working class man.
It's not. It's a working man. That's
not. No. That's Chris. Is that Christy? No, that's.
There's a few people who've sung that. Yeah. Hey, yeah. 1 second. I'll throw this up on the screen. Hey, yes. Let me do side by side.
Do you think Sean looks a bit like him?
I think he looks a lot like him. I think he looks.
He lives in the
same
area.
And he lives in the Highlands as well.
There you go. Do you ever get confused in the shop?
Well, we went on a cruise. And these ladies thought I was Jimmy Barnes and were kept saying, are you on stage tonight, Jimmy?
Yeah, what did he say? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Greg, our youngest son is with us, right?
Yeah.
To see the award. And everybody thinks he looks like Gordon Ramsay.
He? Your husband looks like
Gordon? No, our youngest son, Shane.
Looks like Gordon Ramsay.
So
your family look like.
And in New York, everybody's asking for an autograph.
Really? Oh, now I want to see him as well. Listen, I'm so pleased for you. You're clearly a wonderful couple. I've only just met you now, but you can always tell, can't you? Not great for sitting around either of two of you, obviously.
On the move all the time.
Yeah. Just go.
Yes.
And that's the way you want it.
Can I make a shout out to Paul McDade?
Whatever you want to do, go ahead.
Paul's from Boncrana. He's got two pubs in New York. And he does a lot of work as well for charity. Mm.
And I'd like to give a shout out for the Sister Act, who I think are absolutely amazing. And I'm hoping to bring them to Sydney. I'm not going to promise, but I'm going to work hard and tirelessly to bring them to Sydney when I go back to Sydney.
Yeah, Highland hasn't been to Sydney either, by the way, saying.
Oh, hello.
Highland in the Highlands.
Highland, I mean,
it sells itself.
That sells itself.
You just get the flight sponsored, I'll do the rest.
Okay.
Congratulations to Sean and Eileen from the Kerry family in Slavery.
Oh.
Please say a big congratulations to Sean and Eileen from another Ranara House worker back in the day. Best wishes from Rosemary Coyle, Callaghan, Robert.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Lovely people. Okay, lovely
so these
people.
Are memories coming in left, right, and centre.
Oh.
This is for Sean and Eileen. We arrived in Sydney with $100 in our pockets after backpacking through Asia in the summer of 1994. I'd worked with Sean in the lake in 1991 and had his number. We called and asked if we could stay, and they put us up, gave me a job, helped us find accommodation, and even furnished it. We are forever grateful as they set us on our path and kept us safe in the beginning. They truly deserve this award, helping us and so many along the way. Tracy and Eric Paris.
Oh, lovely. Oh, hi, Tracy and Eric. Oh, hey, my God.
There you go. Is their surname Paris or are they in Paris?
They're in Paris.
Oh, they are in Paris.
They're in Paris.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
Oh, lovely.
Isn't that lovely?
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I think really that has summed up kind of what I was trying to get at for the last half hour, what you did over there and why this is such an amazing award whilst doing the charity work, whilst running a business, while raising a family, but still having the time to do what you did. Great to see you both from Dan, Joe and Rosemary in Redcastle.
Oh, bless. Hello, Dan, Joe and Rosemary.
Best of luck to you both from Patricia and Cecilia Douglas, a great couple.
Another, and on it goes.
So there's more and more coming in. People are watching you and listening.
Yes.
And
thank you very much.
Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy Friday. It's going to be just a wonderful thing so many levels. The honour, but also the coming together.
Can we just give a shout out to our son who can't come because he got a big promotion at Qantas? And he's in Sydney, so I'd like to say Stephen, darling.
And Rebecca.
My granddaughter's going to be 17 tomorrow in Sydney, Grace.
Grace.
And Ethan and Jamie. Love you to the moon and back.
How long have you been married now?
49 years coming.
Yeah, I'm doing the maths here and it doesn't make sense.
I was 17.
Yeah.
Darling was 21.
Okay, still?
Still have
you don't hot. Look like you could have got married. Whatever they put in the water in Sydney. You look fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Listen, enjoy. It's
thank
great.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you
and
very much.
It's lovely to honour people
you,
when they're alive and healthy and happy, isn't it? That you're here for this rather than us doing it if you weren't. All right, enjoy it. Thanks so much for calling, Greg. It's been lovely having you in. That is the recipients, joint recipients, let's not forget, of the 2025 Tip O'Neill Irish Diaspora Awards. The awards are at the Inishowen Gateway Hotel in Buncrana on Friday, of course, and they join the likes of Danny Hutton, Vincent Keaveney in being 2025 recipients, and very, very deserving. All right, thanks again to Sean and Eileen for calling in for a chat, and great reaction to that as well, which is brilliant. Now, National Women's Enterprise Day is this Thursday, the 16th of October, with local enterprise office Donegal hosting an evening event at the Mount Errigal Hotel, Letterkenny, from 5:30pm until 9:30pm. Brenda Hegarty is head of enterprise with the local enterprise office in Donegal. Good morning to you, Brenda. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, good. Thank you.
Right. So talk about...
Thanks for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. Talk to us about the local acknowledgement of National Women's Enterprise Day.
Yeah, well, the National Women in Enterprise Day is a national event, the biggest female entrepreneur event across Ireland. It's happening on October the 16th, which is Thursday. And there is 18 events right across Ireland. And we're hosting a event here in Donegal, as you say, in the Mount Errigal on Thursday evening at 5:30. We have a great lineup of speakers.
Yeah, talk to us about the speakers.
So our MC for the evening is Ola Hassan, and Ola has just returned to Donegal after over 20 years in Spain, and she's a transformational motivational coach. And then we're joined, our keynote speaker is Tessa Breslin, and again, Tessa has worked with Fortune 500 leaders across America and has just returned during COVID to Ireland, and Tessa will bring her psychology and leadership consultancy to her keynote address. And then with a great panel, we have Sally Murphy, who is the president of Donegal Women in Business, or Olivia Finney, who from New Kid Coffee, and Olivia is actually our female ambassador this year, and then Caroline McLaughlin, who is an executive director with Morgan Stanley.
Given the wealth of experience and talent there, I'd imagine anyone at any level of business would get something from this event. You know, whether you are leading out a very successful company or perhaps at the beginning of a project.
Exactly. So this, the female entrepreneurship, this is all about encouraging more females to think and start small businesses, or those that are already in business, then it's an opportunity for networking, to hear inspiring speakers, and really connect into the local enterprise office and hear about the support that is available from the local enterprise office all year round, whether that's funding, mentoring, training. So it's a great opportunity to network and learn what is available and again hear from those inspirational speakers.
Yeah, and I've heard of countless stories of people attending events like this and the networking that comes from it, whether it's exchanging of advice, opportunities, collaborations, whatever it might be. Brenda, just curious how we are performing in this county, because we've got some amazing business leaders who are women. We've got amazing organisations that advocate and represent women in business that seem very active all of the time. Obviously, I'm overexposed to what's happening in Donegal, but are we punching above our weight, I wonder, on a national level?
Yes, we believe we are. The local enterprise office in Donegal has a particular focus on female entrepreneurship, and it's not just on this day of National Women in Enterprise Day. We have a range of supports. We have a dedicated award-winning, actually, Chambers Ireland recognised it nationally as a great programme. It's our ambition programme. We're currently in the fifth year of that programme, and this is where we bring 17 business female leaders in the room on a pre-accelerator in terms of looking at how they can start and grow businesses from the county that have global ambition. Again, we see the dial moving. Now, we are not fully there in terms of inequity, male-female, but we are seeing more and more females starting and growing businesses from the county.
And the local enterprise office, and to be honest with you, I've learned as much about it on the Business Matters podcast as anywhere else at all. You do amazing work, the level of supports that are there, you know, at the beginning. And sometimes that support might be, you know, maybe that's not a fantastic direction to go in or whatever it might be, you know. But I think we're lucky to have the Donegal office, because I hear nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, well, thank you. So there's a great team in the local enterprise office. And even just from the beginning, in terms of just connecting in, maybe with our Start Your Own Business programme, which allows you to think about setting up a business and maybe get the initial tools that is necessary for considering what how you go about setting up a business. Then we have a range of training. We have a mentoring program where an expert mentor can be assigned, whether you're only starting a business or you're already in business and you may have a particular challenge, maybe in finance or HR or looking at new markets. We have a range of sustainability supports if you're looking at climate change and transitioning your business to being more carbon neutral. And digitalization and automation is so important now in how you can bring new technology into the business. And again, we have a range of supports for that.
All right.
And then on top of that, if you're in manufacturing or you're trading internationally, we have supports for purchasing new equipment, employing new staff. So a wide range of supports available through the local enterprise office. So
all right. It's brilliant to have that.
Female in business.
Or male.
Or anybody in business. Okay, right. Yeah. We're open to everybody in business, starting or growing. So there's a great range of supports.
Yep. And we'll
have
return
an information session.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us that. Sorry. No, go ahead. This is a tiny wee delay on the phone line. My apologies. Go ahead.
That's okay. So we have an information session every 2 weeks, so online and in person. So it alternates between that. So our next in-person information session will actually be in Carndonagh on the 24th of October. And then there'll be an online one in 2 weeks after that. So that's a great way to link in and hear what is available through the local enterprise office.
Okay.
And indeed, all of our supports, and to book our National Women in Enterprise Day on Thursday is available through our website, localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
All right, that answers my final question then. We're talking about the National Women in Enterprise Day Donegal. It's marked by a special event in the Mount Errigal Hotel with a plethora of brilliant speakers. 5:30 to 9:30. There are still then spaces available. Go through the Leo Donegal website, yeah?
Yes, that's true. And there's a great... The opening is an actual facilitated networking session by Miranda Rosenberg. And Miranda brings great energy to any event. So, and there will be food, there'll be networking, there'll be a bit of fun, and there'll be serious topics discussed. So it's a great opportunity. Anybody who has been there before, or if it's new, please do think about coming along on Thursday evening. Now, spaces are limited, so I'd encourage people to get on and book as soon as they can.
All right, thanks so much, Brenda. Thanks for talking more generally as well about Leo. Look after yourself. Brenda Hegarty there, Head of Enterprise with the local Enterprise Office, Donegal. Okay, what is the weather forecast? It's sometimes we get a weather forecast for all of Ulster, and then sometimes we get the local weather forecast from Metairn. But today, it's this afternoon, it's going to be mostly dry. There might be a few bright intervals. Temperatures 12 to 13 degrees. Did you know, you talk about the money that goes in the budget, did you know that Metairn received €82 million for a budget 2026? €82 million. I don't know how much I thought it would cost to run Metairn, but I didn't have it at €82 million. And that's a €42 million increase in capital expenditure. They're going to put in new rain monitoring stations, flood warning systems. So I suppose, hey, if that stuff comes to pass, it's good. But this is only monitoring equipment. €82 million to Metairn in budget 2026. Anyway, Liam Mulligan's with me. Hi, Liam.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. You're talking to us about your experience out on the roads. Pick up the story there.
Okay, it's just did the normal school run this morning at a normal time, except it took me 15 minutes to get from the County Museum to the hospital roundabout, which is not very far, to say the least. So it's about 1 or 2 kilometres per hour, which is much worth. So sort of a Dublin speed at Christmas rather than anything else. You know, it does seem to be roadworks, but the issue that I was really raising is what are the roadworks for and what is the final outcome of the roadworks?
Are you saying, is this a sampler menu of what the roads might be like full time after the roadworks have completed?
Yeah, they took the right turn lane into St. Connell's out. You know, the traffic and going into St. Connell's could come over and get out of the way of the main line of traffic up to now. But taking that lane out, they have to wait in the main line of traffic before they can turn right into St. Connell's. And this is what's probably causing the holdup. And the question is, okay, traffic works are works and you just have to put up with them. But the idea here is to put in cycle lanes up this steep hill. And does this mean these right turn lanes are gone forever?
Well,
and
how could there be,
this is the what the traffic's going to be like forever?
How could there
there's no room.
Yeah, how could they be accommodated if you're putting in a cycle lane, you've got the foot traffic as well, you've got two lanes of traffic. Yeah. Where is the space for a turning lane?
Exactly. Then this is the problem. I mean, has this been thought through? Why has there been a choice to put a cycle lane in like this, in this place, and the policy issues? And, you know, it's also a question of local priorities.
Mm-hmm.
There are a series of locations around Letterkenny, and I'm sure there's plenty around the county, where we need to do roadworks to make the area safer. But for all sorts of reasons, these works are not being done. The one I raise is out in the old town at what we would call the hideout corner in previous days, where it's people come and walking down Lismonahan or down Rann or even the cars. And it's a very, very difficult corner. But because it's in the plan for the Leck Road or the Southern Network, as it's now called, for the last 20 years, nothing has been done. And nothing will be done for another 20 years, possibly, as well, if we look at the rate these big projects go ahead at. But that is an immediate safety project that we could do immediately and help people immediately. So the question that is arising is, why are we spending money
Because there was an active travel fund that was there. That's a standalone fund that couldn't be spent on the hideout corner, and we applied for that and we got it, and now we're implementing it. You know, it's a different tranche of funding, Liam, I presume, is the answer.
Yeah, that will be the answer. There is a budget for this, and there's not a budget for safety. And it's the budget is handed out by the Custom House or by the Department of Transport. And it's, you know, where is the discretion that our council and our councillors can say, look, yeah, active travel is great, we want to go with it, but we also have safety issues that we've got to solve. Where is the safety budget gone, you know? And that's the sort of question, the discretion. I mean, it's like, it sounds very much like what Leo Varadkar said to Mayo County Council when they upset him. He told them to shut up and do what they were told because their money came from Dublin, which means you put in an application for a budget and you get no money outside that budget. So even if you have local priorities, you're not getting the money for the local priorities. And that's the issue. And we have to face active travel. It's fine, but that's a 4-5% gradient on that hill up the mountain top. So you're training Sean Kelly's. You know, you're training
Well, I can tell you one person.
The mountain.
I can tell you one person that will never cycle up that hill. And you're talking to him. And the funny thing is, is, you know, and it's not even funny, there's still going to be electric scooters going down on the road when they should be on the footpath. There's going to be people cycling down the wrong side of the road. And, you know, like, I've seen active travel in Dublin and elsewhere, and it's chaos. Like, it's not, people don't use it as it's designed to be used. But listen, that's, I'm an old fart, so maybe there's a new generation of people coming through that this is the future. The just general consensus from what I've heard is that people believe the broader infrastructure of travelling to or around Letterkenny needs to be done before the active travel stuff is done, that we're putting the cart before the horse. And I just hope we're not going to end up paying the prices as commuters and motorists and people on school runs, Liam.
Effectively, they are increasing emissions by active travel. Rather than decreasing emissions, they are effectively increasing emissions because they're not looking at local circumstances. They're looking at budgets. Mind you, I do commend some of the people in our council for their enterprise in adapting budgets. I thought it was a good one, that apartment block almost up on the mountaintop that had defective blocks, that they were managed to get a budget to replace it under the urban renewal scheme, which is supposed to be for renewing the urban core, whereas that is actually outside the bypass route.
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of that. But anyway, I get where you're coming from.
The council.
Yep.
The council can adapt, but this element of budgets control centrally and priorities centrally is a problem. And I just wanted to raise it because the possibility that this is not just a question of hold-ups that are going to happen for the length of the roadworks. This may be what we're facing.
This is the future of moving around. Okay. Yeah. We'll try and get some clarity on that. Thanks, Liam. Liam Mulligan there. I don't have the ins and outs of that active travel plan or the programme of works or the lane reductions. What I will do is actually brief myself on that a little later on today and run through it, because there are maps available and stuff, because I want to be better informed, because I feel it is going to be a hot topic. Why, Corley says it's one sentence, why is the council putting in these stupid cycle lanes that aren't ever used? Yeah. The funny thing is cyclists that sort of dress up in the outfits and all, they want to be on the roads because their bikes aren't built for the cycle lanes with little stones and sharing them with pedestrians and all that kind of stuff. So who is it for? I don't know. On the issue of offering people coming to this country 10 grand to leave, I cannot see how the offer of money to leave the country is going to work, because even if someone takes the money and returns home, what's to stop them from returning and getting a second or third payout? We cannot positively identify these people, and this will become a very profitable business for criminals. That was my concern, but there's a cutoff. So by and now, unless a new scheme was opened, you couldn't leave and come back in. You have to have arrived in the country before a certain date. And I made the mistake of concerning myself with that. That being said, there could be another scheme that down the line they could eventually avail of. I don't know, but the time where you had to have arrived into the country was before the scheme was announced, presumably to avoid that kind of exploitation. In relation to drugs, a caller believes it's nothing more than a publicity stunt by Gardaí. They can't even have a patrol car in some of these coastal areas. Putting a 10-year ban on immigrants being paid to return home, there should not be a 10-year stay on it. It should be a lifetime ban on returning. Okay. Back to drugs. Don't know how they're going to seal the coastline when they can't put one guard on the streets of Letterkenny at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night. Easter, easier for farmer now to buy a bale of coke rather than a bale of hay. I suppose you have to do something, though, and on it goes. Listen, thank you so much for all of your comments. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to be back to do it all again tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team of Caroline Orr, researching and producing, assisted by Shannon Wilkins, have a great Tuesday.